What this is doing is allowing me to document my truth, and my truth being that I came out last year as a gay woman, and how that journey to get to that point was, which wasn't pretty, but also it allowed me to, I suppose, articulate more of my story that I didn't do in depth earlier on because I couldn't.
Can we touch on some of those barriers, Kelly? Like, why do you feel that it was something that you couldn't talk about until you got to this point in life?
Well, there were two distinct reasons. One, obviously, I was serving during the LGBT ban on homosexuality in the army, which was on place between 1964 and 2000. I didn't know that I was gay, for those that, you know, question that, before I joined. And when I realised, of course, then you live your life sort of in fear, because I loved being in the military. I wanted a career since I was 14. And at the point where I was 22, I had a raid, and it's been very documented now because of the fact that we've recently got a Prime Minister's apology for the mistreatment of veterans after Lord Etherton had led a review that I've been very much part of with Fight for Pride as well. Basically, the fear had left me with that for 34 years of my life, because I always still thought I could get in trouble, and it's an irrational fear. But when I left the military at 27, I was still a full-time athlete, and the ban only got lifted 3 years after I retired. So what that meant is I had to sort of suppress those feelings in terms of, I can't say who I am, you know, I can't just live my life and not care if I introduce someone or say who I'm going on holiday with or whatever. So I was also a full-time athlete where there was no role modeling in sport. I didn't know anyone that was out. So again, I kept that in. Then I retired. And then, you know, I'm a celebrated athlete. No one again spoke about it in sport. And again, I had to keep that inner turmoil and fear. And it got to the point where I was so fearful of the judgment and bigotry and bullying that I'd seen through this society, especially living in the 80s, then through to the 90s, and then even the 2000s. You just think, well, gosh, you know, what do I do? What people think of me? How are people going to react? How are people going to treat me? It's a constant narrative. Anyway, fast forward, it got to lockdown and I couldn't deal with it any longer. And I had to find a way of doing my documentary, which I did last year, Kelly Ames Being Me on ITV, but also to feel valid in myself. My mental health really, really deteriorated to the point that I questioned life, basically. And I had to make that decision in lockdown that I was worth more than the way that I was being and the way I felt. And so I had to decide to do the documentary. And basically, you know, I went to my first Pride and all these different things. And then also about the veteran review. So I've documented that in the book, and it's been a pretty emotive journey, really.
Was it cathartic for you, Kelly, to put pen to paper and just let this story pour out?
It's a difficult one, because I even say, well, what do I need to put a book out? Like, why? But there's always people around you that go, you know, it's great to sort of document that, because life moves so fast. And I want to have almost this year as that whole, right, now everyone knows who I am, what I've done, how it happened, and what's happened to me. I think that next year, coming into my 20-year anniversary since winning my gold medals, I can put all of those fears and thoughts and those suppression that I felt and the jail in myself that I felt behind me, and really, really move forward and, one, love my life, be happy, and also be a voice for people who need to have a confidence behind them to be who they want to be. And that's not just about the LGBT world. Look, fear is debilitating no matter what. That could be anything about relationships, you know, anything about work, and also about transition of people. You know, sometimes we lose ourselves, our identity, we don't know who we are. There's so moments in life where you have to make a decision to change, and I feel like I've done that now, and I want to go into next year with real positive attitude, a voice for change, and this has allowed me hopefully to do that.
Yeah, too right. Absolutely. I know you can't see me, but I'm sitting here, I'm smiling and I'm nodding along with you 100%. When we look back at a time where being gay in the military was illegal, it blows my mind to think that there was such a time You know, like it really, really does. For troops who are looking back on their service, who may be feeling and understanding what you went through, what would you say to them?
Well, let me put it this way. There's been some real positive moves with the Veterans Review that came out earlier this year. It gave 49 recommendations of how they can basically give back some of that validation to the veterans that suffered in here. Now we're talking hundreds, and we're talking men and women and all ranks, and people that have served alongside others that might be listening today, back in the day, or even still serving now, that still might not have that, I don't know, strength of character to just be open because they're worried about what you're going to think of them, even though you're a mate. You know, just think about this. Your grandparents that may well have lived this life, that they never told you, and how they've lived their life in the way that I've described. But what's happened now is that basically, the MOD are waiting for the government to come back on those 49 recommendations to say what they can physically implement. Now, they need to move. They need to get going, because there's still people that have lived a life of mental health problems, a life of feeling like, you know, hatred towards their career, yet they should feel proud. These are people that might have served on the front line that have just been in the military for 15, 20 odd years. This isn't just people who came in and, you know, kind of broke all the rules. It was just people that were who they were and done their job well, and then somebody thought that they weren't good enough after finding out about their sexuality. Now, some people have now started to have their berets returned, which got stripped from them. So they marched on Remembrance Sunday, which was incredible. Some are getting their medals, their long service medals. You have to do 15 years. They're getting their medals returned, so they could have been stripped of those medals. Their personalised apologies from Commander in Chief are starting to filter through. I mean, I haven't got one. Veterans that I spoke to haven't yet got them, so this needs to move forward. And there's a lot, but there's a cap. So basically, there's been a cap of £50 million put on compensation. Now, you're talking about compensation for those that lost careers, haven't got pensions, been, like I said, in the mental health system, that haven't been able to just have and have a real fulfilling career. So there's a lot to be done, but the MOD has an online portal where applicants can go in there and find out what's actually happened. But I just feel like we are in a positive place. And what I can say to people is that you've got to realise that a person standing side by side has a right in life to be next to you. And they are qualified, determined, great individuals that just want to have a career. It should not matter to you who they love.
Absolutely right. Love that, Kelly. Thank you for sharing that. It's really powerful. You're such an inspiration. You willingly share your life to help people. And, you know, I look at your story, your journey, and you give so much to the world publicly, whether we're talking about mental wellness, your journey with perimenopause through to your sexuality. Like, do you ever get tired and think, you know what, this is personal to me. Like, the world can just do one right now. I've given enough.
So how I feel is that I didn't plan what my life was going to be, other than the fact that I had two dreams: to be in the army as a physical training instructor and to be Olympic champion. And I achieved those by the age of 35 or 34. I retired at 35 at my second career retirement. And then I went on to a life of just being, you know. I've done a lot of charity work. My charity is 15 years working with disadvantaged young people from areas of deprivation. I've done a huge amount of things that I'm passionate about. And that's me, you know. And still, I'm a motivational speaker. I go around the world. I play a montage of Athens, which was 19 years ago. And still, yet people are cheering, you know, and clapping, and it makes them cry. And I realise that impact, but I also realise the impact I've had by being open and honest. Because when you're put on a pedestal of success, almost like thinks that, oh, I could never be as good. Everyone can be as good as they want to be if they set their own self that belief mechanism that they can stand on top of that podium and become someone. And that's really important, that people go, I can be the best version of myself. Now, if me saying how I got there was a fight, that for me surely shows more like, oh my God, you know, if you keep going, don't give up, you can still be great, you know. And that's what I want from my voice today. I want to make change. I haven't stopped being who I want to be. I don't even know the next part. I want to be someone else. I want to be a voice, because I still am at that age where I think, why can't I still be successful? Now, in my world of being in the public figure, for me, that has transpired into being, I'll be a voice for change, a voice for reason, a voice that now I have my voice authentically through everything. You know, remember, it's not about being gay and being authentic. It's about now. I don't mind what I say. If I talk about perimenopause and talk about, you know, men's mental health, or talk about, I don't know, a high achievement, if anyone doubts me, I'm going, I don't care what you think. Yeah, I don't care if you judge me now. You know what I mean? I don't care. Because that's your problem. I've got something to say, which I know makes a difference. And that's where I'm at in my life.